Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Button. There we go. We'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family Podcast. Got a special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Dr. Michael Hutchison from Traverse City, Michigan. I'm a neuromuscular cosmetic dentist.
That is a, pardon the expression, a mouthful.
Yeah.
Explain to this Tennessean what that means.
Well, cosmetic dentistry, of course, you can imagine is just making your smile better, enhancing your smile, giving you back teeth that you lost, repairing, fixing, restoring fractured teeth. And part of that other neuromuscular dentistry part is you got to do that first before the cosmetic part. Get your jaw lined up correctly. Treating patients with migraines, headaches, neck pain, TMJ, that sort of thing, where the neuromuscular dentistry comes into play.
You just hit me right between the eyes. I have fought migraines since I was 19 years old, and it's been a long, long road.
Well, 95% of migraines, first of all, migraines are, medically speaking, one specific thing, and that is constriction of your cerebral arteries. But it tends to, anything severe like that, any kind of headache tends to get thrown into migraines. But if you take the statement about migraines, 95% of those cases have a jaw part that is overlooked and not addressed, and usually is the main culprit of the headaches, migraine problem. It's a Charlie horse in your head, if you will, caused by the muscles that make your jaw move and do the functions. And if your jaw doesn't fit together right, your muscles suffer and radiate pain.
Okay, so again, I'm completely ignorant on this, but you'll help me out. So the jaw's obviously connected, the muscles connected, everything. But how does that connect to how does that cause the migraines? I mean, what with that disconnection?
Well, if you have if you pull a hamstring, does just your hamstring hurt or does your whole leg hurt?
I would imagine your whole leg hurts. It looks painful.
So if you have overworked spasmodic muscles with full lactic acid radiating pain, it tends to radiate through your head in certain places. So there was a big study done by Janet Travell back in the 60s about trigger points, and she demonstrated that various parts of the muscle refer pain to other parts of the head, depending on which muscle it is. So, for example, the masseter muscle, it's the big one on your cheek, that can refer pain to the inside of your mouth, to your teeth on that side. The temporalis muscle radiates pain all over your head. And that's just the muscle. It's not anything to do with your brain or anything like that. It's just muscle spasm. So if your jaw doesn't fit together properly, it would be like you getting up from the chair and running a marathon, and then tomorrow your muscles will all hurt, if you could even do it, right? So you're doing this malfunction of your jaw 24 hours a day, and pretty soon it builds up and you start having unexplained headaches. This was really the source of TMJ. And ultimately, what we're going to talk about later, something that I discovered for sports. But if you have your jaw and your teeth don't come in the right place. They don't come in tall enough, or something causes your muscles and your skeleton to be not equal, then the muscles are the ones that are going to suffer. And so that's where you get the pain from. And so we've discovered that if you just let your jaw hang where it wants to hang at rest, the pain will go away. So this is the important thing about the jaw and its component that has to do with jaw position and pain and headaches and ultimately concussions and performance. This part of your anatomy has two joints. The only bone that has two joints in the body that work simultaneously together every instant, and it's only held in to the skull by ligaments and muscles. It's not physically attached bone to bone. In fact, that's detrimental. If you start grinding your bones together, that's going to create a lot of problems and pathology. So the jaw is absolutely ignored in sports. I see a helmet back there behind you. And the way that back in ancient times when they started playing football, it was obvious, you know, you got to hold your helmet on or it'll fly off. So put a chin strap on it and tighten it up so that it holds your helmet on. But what it also does is jam your jaw back up against the skull. And when you receive a blow to the side of the head or your jaw, it just translates like electricity up to your brain. But historical tradition and all of the things that have come down the line have totally ignored the jaw and its association with the rest of the skull and the body and the muscles. But it plays a very important role in how our body works.
So you were talking, and we talked a little bit, not much, but we talked a little bit about what you're working on for football or for whatever sport, and that's the mouth guards. And again, that's how I what do you call them?
Well, I call it a power plus mouth guard.
A power plus mouth guard.
And I don't like the term mouth guard because this is what we have right now. It's 73 years old, 1950. Some Notre Dame players were breaking their teeth playing football, and Life magazine wrote an article about it. And the ADA took a stand and said, well, let's make an appliance that protects you from banging your teeth together and breaking them, and we'll call it a mouth guard. And so in 1950, the first mouth guard was constructed. And this is what we have today. We have the same technology, even though there's lots of different ones. As I'm going to explain, the only thing that they were trying to do is keep you from banging your teeth together. And it does a good job. Anything between your teeth will cushion the blow to your teeth and protect them from breaking. But what they didn't know is how much the jaw affects the physiology, neurology, and mechanics of the rest of the body. And they, in 1950, didn't even conceive that. They didn't care about that, had no idea about that. They just were trying to protect teeth. But it matters. We found out how thick it is, which jaw it goes on, and most of all, in our own unique personal physiologic jaw position. Mine's different than yours. Yours is different than every other person. But if you think about what we've been looking at mouth guards, the mouth guard is for everyone. You just go buy a mouth guard, boil and bite it. You do not want to know how you want to bite. You need to know how your body bites. And that's the important thing.
Well, explain what. Okay. We've had for years, and this is supposed to be this way, should have been this way for a long time, concussions, especially in hockey, football. Explain a concussion to the best of your ability. Explain what a concussion is and how having the proper just explain a concussion before we go any further.
Yes, in simplified forms, it's a brain injury. It's like, somebody hits you in the arm with a baseball bat. The harder they hit you, the more of a injury it will be. And so brain injuries are, it's a delicate tissue, so it doesn't take as much force to start causing an injury. There actually was a study that just came out that kids who had concussions later in life show cognitive disabilities, just getting a little knock on the head, because brain tissue is very delicate and it's difficult for it to heal back up. So what the logical and current thought is that if you get hit hard enough, your brain is suspended in your skull in water, spinal fluid. And that somewhat helps keep it stable and helps cushion it. So, but if you get hit hard enough, the brain will slosh around in the skull and get injured. That's not the only way that the brain can be injured. And there have been lots of studies shown in the military where somebody is near a blast of a bomb and the energy from that causes a concussion, or even specifically blows the helmet of the soldier up against their skull and the force goes in their jaw and they end up having a concussion.
Well, do you remember, I don't remember what year it was, Rudy Tomjanovich got hit on the back of his head and he said he started tasting what turned out to be spinal fluid. Was that do you remember that hit? Him playing for the Rockets?
Yeah, I remember hearing that story.
Well, I was wondering if that had something to do with what you're talking about with the brain suspended, or was that something from his spine?
Well, that's something. If you get hit that hard, your brain's going to be affected. But it sounds to me like there was enough force to rupture that spinal column that holds the spinal fluid so that some of that could leak out.
That sounds absolutely awful.
You know, so that's in essence a different injury. But what started me in this whole thing was not concussions; it was strength. When I was I wasn't satisfied with the current TMJ treatments that were taught in school and what we standard dentists would do for procedures to help people with migraines, headaches, TMJ symptoms. And so I did just some research. I just went out and tried to find any other procedure, any other technique, any other modality that seemed to show promise. And I met a guy who had been working on TMJ and TMJ alone for 30 years. And what he was doing was a very extremely high success rate. And that was positioning the jaw in its passive rest, physiologic rest position. And when he would do that, patients were cured of all those symptoms, which was unheard of when I was in dental school. And for 10 years after dental school, we would never say that TMJ could be cured, because it really was felt like that we couldn't. We could manage it in some cases, but what we were doing was accidentally finding that physiologic jaw position, and we found in those cases we were highly successful. But what we were taught is if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and there's nothing you can do. And that's because our treatment that we were taught was so arbitrary. It was just keeping you from grinding your teeth, so sticking any kind of plastic in between your teeth and let you go at it. And if it was in the right spot, it worked. If it wasn't in the right spot, it didn't work. And in some cases, if it was too thick or too large, it would make it worse. And so That was the frustrating thing of the old treatment that frankly is being taught still today.
What do you do different?
What I do is, again, now I know there's a, now that I know that there's a physiologic jaw position, what I first do for TMJ cases, and this is going to lead into the mouth guard, I make a little appliance that separates your teeth away from any other teeth so that you don't bite together like you're programmed to bite like gears. So you're sliding on this little apparatus, and so you'll automatically slide into rest position. And I test that before and after and get your feedback and see how you feel. And people would come back to me and say, man, I've never felt this good in my life, never slept better in my life. I even feel stronger. What's that all about? And I didn't really know about that. And so that made me really look into that. I said, Mrs. Jones is stronger. What would happen if I took the 0-9 Lions and made them all 20% stronger? I'd be a genius and they'd be in the Super Bowl, right? So I started testing. My dad was an exercise physiologist, and we were a big sports family. And so naturally, I just thought of sports. Like, if, you know, everybody's trying to take, do whatever they can to get more strength, even take steroids and other supplements and go to the gym and, you know, just beat yourself up just to get stronger. Little did they know that the majority of us already have at least 16.8% more strength in us. We're just not utilizing it because of our blockage of our jaw and what it does to the nervous system. So the first person I ever tested was this guy who was a police chief, fire chief in my hometown of Traverse City. He was kind of a local celebrity, and his hobby was bench pressing. He was 65 years old. He made it on the USA powerlifting team. It went to the national powerlifting championships, and he won first place with a sanctioned lift of 398 pounds, most he'd ever lifted in his life. And they wrote an article about him in the local paper. And I read it, and he said that he wanted to go to Prague and break the world record, which was 435 pounds. And he didn't know if he could because he never lifted that much ever in his life. But he's going to work really hard for the next 6 weeks and see if he can do it. And at that point in time, I didn't have a lot of data. I just knew there was a mechanism in the body that unleashed could increase your strength. And so I called him up. I said, I can get you your world record tonight. I did that on faith of my own part. I didn't really know for sure. I just told him I can get it. But long story short, he came over. I made him a mouth appliance, put him in his physiologic jaw position, told him to let me know after his workout because he was going to go lift right after that. And to let me know what I said, most people get about 20% increase in strength. I didn't know that for sure either. But anyway, I told him that so that you could put 480 up there and you could lift it. And he got to 455 and got scared because he thought he was going to hurt himself. But he said, I know I could do more. I know I could do more. So fortunately, I said, give me your weightlifting logs because I need data. And he, for the next 6 weeks, got up to 525.
Good night.
And then he went to Prague and lifted 455, which was a world record, and held that record for 10 years.
No, 65-year-old man.
65-year-old man.
So what are, again, what are the odds that that much power can be released by properly aligning your jaw? I mean, what are the odds?
Well, it's all mechanics. It's if your muscle fiber is not told to do anything, it won't. So Wayne State University's biomedical engineering department came to me and wanted to study strength increase with this physiologic jaw position. And so they did, and they took 40 of their football players and did a study with arms and legs, and they showed a 16.8% increase in strength with the physiologic jaw positioning appliance over Shock Doctor, which is the number one mouth guard, totally conventional, mainstream, one size fits all, a no mouth guard lift, and then a cheapy like you get for free. And Shock Doctor actually was the worst in strength increase and over even no mouth guard at all. But Power Plus was head over heels above those other three. And this is what we've come to understand. So everything, if you're going to go lift bench press, your brain has to tell you to do it. I mean, you have to say, okay, I'm going to lift this weight. And then you have to think about how you're going to do that. You're not totally thinking about it, because you have an autonomic nervous system as well that functions without your mental your conscious command. But if you if your jaw is in a position that it pinches off nerves, squeezes them because the jaw's not in the right position to let that through, there's going to be nerve endings that are going to be pinched off and not reach the muscles that you need to do what you need to do. And so therefore, if you have a muscle that's working and it has 100 fibers and only 77 fibers get told to contract, there's 17 fibers that are just not doing anything. So if you get those to do the work as well, up to 100%, you immediately increase your strength output. So you can run faster, jump higher, you can hit a ball farther, you can stay longer in the sport. There was a study showing that marathon runners reported their wall, that wall they hit when they're running, where they want to quit, moved from 16 miles to 20 because their muscles started out functioning at 100% and took them farther. So this is how the jaw is influenced in strength. And that can be your legs, your arms, your back, your neck. It's very important in concussions because you can prevent yourself from too much sway of your head. That's been shown in research that if you strengthen your neck, in fact, Tua Tagovailoa is reported to be doing neck strength muscle workouts to help him prevent concussions. But that's what physiologic jaw position does as well, is just unleashes all that muscle fibers that are not being told what to do, and you immediately increase the strength. So because of that, I started testing everything, every person I could, all the Wayne State test. Anecdotally, the football team went on to have the winningest record in the history of the school and ended up in the D2 national championship game. Never been there by wearing a physiologic jaw positioning mouth guard on their whole team. So when we established that, I needed data. I had my son's eighth grade football team. They were 0-3. I went to the coach and said, I need data. So I want to make all the boys a new type of mouth guard. It goes on the lower teeth. And he said, good. I went and met with the parents. We all decided to do it. And I followed them and a Catholic school. So it was about 100 boys for 6 years. There were no concussions. in those 6 years. Catholic school, anecdotally, won 5 state championships in a row. And my son's team had 2 undefeated seasons and 1 with 3 losses. The very first one, they won the conference, and all winning records. So the strength was kind of established, but what really changed the game was that physiologic jaw position doesn't allow the G forces of concussion to get translated up to the brain. It can't jump across the joint because it's separated and it gets dissipated away. And so that's how we've been able to accomplish a 0.2% concussion rate, which is nice.
Is that very similar to having buildings that have mechanics in there to help it sway during an earthquake?
In some ways it does, because it puts your jaw in its passive state and you can't get out of it because you're wearing an appliance that won't let you close too far or won't have you open too far. It puts you in the safest position in your jaw to skull relationship. And so you dissipate the forces away from the brain. If you get a force strong enough, Power Plus is not going to prevent a concussion, you know, but 98.98% is pretty good.
I would take that. What is so number one, where do you get it? We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay. But number two, how long do you think before people start to see this as a viable option to not only protect their kids, but also to protect the sport?
Soon. My main problem is that I did the research, I discovered this, me and me only. And I'm just one person trying to educate the world. So it's been going slowly. But now it's getting out there to where there's lots of teams, there's NFL players. Daniel Sorensen is my poster child. He played for the Chiefs, 2 Super Bowls, 8 years, free safety, and then free safety for the Saints for 1 year last year. No concussions in 9 years in the NFL playing free safety is pretty much nearly impossible. But he did it because he had his jaw in that physiologic jaw position. And he started out as a practice player, a non-drafted practice player, and ended up having a 4-year NFL contract his last 4 years, and then playing with the Saints. He's retired now, but the important thing is that he didn't have a concussion playing probably the position that gets most of the concussions.
It's a scary thing to watch Tua last year. I believe his first concussion, where he is basically on the ground with his fingers curled up like that, and you knew what he had. I mean, even laymen like me knew exactly what he had. The second one, I didn't know what he had. I thought something was wrong with his legs, but it went from his brain down to his motors, to his legs. And it's like, and so you're saying that he's working on his neck muscles. That's amazing, just to find some things to make it even better.
Yeah. Tua knows about Power Plus, and he had it when I was at the Polynesian Hall of Fame Bowl as a sponsor. But then his college coach, Nick Saban, wouldn't let him wear it, and he got out of the habit. And now that he's a big time NFL player, you can't get a hold of him. But Tua knows about it, and I fully expect him to be back doing it soon, because I've gotten a hold of his agent, and we're working on it. Tua knows he knows about it, and it kind of bothers me that he got pushed a different direction, just out of, you know, historical tradition and not
no
science. But
I have problems with tradition when it deals with the long-term health of somebody.
Right.
Where can we get one? Where can we get in touch with you?
You can go to powerplusmouthguard.com. And there's lots of great information, and you can order one right there. There's also a deal up at the top, Power Up. And so you put that in the promo code, you get 10% off. So powerplusmouthguard.com is where you can get it.
This will be in the show notes as well. So you can probably, I think how that works is you can click on it from the show notes.
Yep.
Well, Dr. Hutchinson, I just got the notice from Zoom. Want to kind of wrap this up here in just a second. You have a passion because you saw a need and you saw what pain is, not just for athletes, but for regular people. The pain of TMJ, which is awful, migraines, which are awful, and other things. And you went and you tried to find a way to solve those needs. And that's something that I appreciate. I appreciate the fact that you saw the need and you went to help people. That's something that should be commended for you, period. I know this is a business, but it's more than that to you, isn't it?
Absolutely more than that. I always believe that I was taught by my parents, if you do about doing good and you do the right thing, all good things come to you. So I really don't, and I think it's obvious because I don't have a huge business yet, and I've been doing this for a long time, but I'm doing good. You know, there's 10,800 concussions that happen every day, and it's just not necessary. We're wearing a mouth guard that's 73 years old. And isn't it obvious that in 73 years, everything else has changed, but this we think is perfect? Absolutely not. It was designed for one reason back in 1950, and that was to keep you from banging your teeth together. Otherwise, it's basically detrimental to everyone who wears it. And it's my passion to get out there and change it, because it doesn't have to be that way. It can be better.
It can be. And with people like you, it will be. And hopefully with this particular podcast, we can help get the message out a little bit more.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time, and I hope I added value to your podcast, and your listeners will appreciate it. And please, all parents, athletes, step up to the new technology. I mean, we none of us go to the wall and pick up our phone. We just reach in our pocket and have the world at our fingertips. And this is the same concept with this new mouth appliance, is that, yeah, there was a mouth guard, but now there's a new way, a new technology, a new innovation, a new discovery. And it just has to be out there on the field in all sports to protect us and help us play safer.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Please be safe, and let me know if I can help you out anymore. You want to come back on, please let me know. You're more than welcome anytime, my friend.
All right. Really appreciate it. Have a good evening.
And thank y'all for listening to the Football's Family Podcast.
Take care.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.